Chris Watts wasn't a monster, at least not the kind you'd expect. He didn't have a violent past, no record, no history of abuse. He was soft-spoken, polite, and always smiling in family photos, the kind of man who'd hold the door for strangers and mow his neighbor's lawn without being asked. But on the morning of August 13, 2018, he murdered his pregnant wife, Shanann, and their two daughters, Bella and Celeste, in cold blood. Then he calmly drove their lifeless bodies to an oil field owned by his employer, stuffed his daughters into oil tanks, and buried Shanann in a shallow grave. Hours later, he went on national television, pleading for their safe return. America believed him, for a moment. But this wasn't just a case of murder. It was the annihilation of a family, erased by a man who claimed to love them. Why? What really turned this quiet father into a calculating killer? Was it the affair? The mounting lies? Or something even darker hiding beneath the surface of the American dream? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Disappearance of Shanann Watts. Shanann Watts arrived home from a business trip at 1:48 a.m. The footage shows her entering through the front door, suitcase in hand, tired but unaware that it would be the last moment of her life. By 5 a.m., she was dead, strangled in her own bed by the man who vowed to love and protect her. At 8:15 a.m., Chris Watts was on his neighbor's surveillance camera, backing his truck into the driveway, loading what he told police were tools for work. What he was really loading were the bodies of Shanann, their unborn son Nico, and their daughters, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Celeste. By mid-morning, Shanann's friend was worried. She hadn't heard from her. She wasn't responding to calls or texts. She missed an important doctor's appointment. When police did a welfare check, Chris seemed calm. Too calm. He told them Shanann had taken the girls to a friend's house after an argument. He even let officers search the house, but they noticed her purse still sitting on the counter, her phone still plugged in, her car still in the garage, car seats untouched. Something was off. But Chris clung to the lie. Later that day, he gave interviews. He smiled, pleaded, said, "If you're out there, just come home." The nation watched, hearts breaking for the grieving father. But beneath the smile was a secret. Chris had been having an affair with a co-worker, Nicole Kessinger. They met at Anadarko Petroleum and quickly became close. He told her he was in the process of separating from Shanann. In truth, Shanann had just returned from a trip meant to save their marriage. She had no idea he was planning their deaths. That night, Chris failed a polygraph. When the agent told him, "It's clear you're not being honest," he cracked, partially. "I'll tell you, but I need to talk to my dad first." In a now infamous interrogation room, with his father beside him, Chris told a twisted version. He claimed Shanann had killed the girls. In a rage, he killed her. It was a lie, but it bought him a few more hours of illusion. Chapter 2. Confession of a Family Killer. The truth came later. The full horrifying confession was delivered in a cold, clinical tone. Chris told police that after he and Shanann had argued, he climbed on top of her, straddled her, and strangled her with his bare hands. She didn't scream, didn't fight. He watched the life drain from her eyes. When it was over, their daughter Bella came into the room. "What's wrong with Mommy?" He told her Shanann was sick. Then he wrapped her body in a sheet and dragged it downstairs. Bella followed. Celeste, too. He loaded them into the back seat of his truck, alive, while Shanann's corpse lay at their feet, wrapped in fabric. The drive to the oil field took over an hour. In that time, Bella asked, "Is Mommy going to be okay?" At the sight, he smothered Celeste first, with her favorite blanket. Then Bella, who begged for her life. "Daddy, no," she cried. Those were her last words. He shoved their small bodies into the hatches of two separate oil tanks. Then he buried Shanann nearby, shallow and unmarked. Chris returned home, took a shower, went to work, then pretended to be a concerned husband and father. It took days to untangle the lies. Nicole Kessinger, his mistress, had begun to suspect. She searched online for how long phone records are saved, Amber Alerts, and can cops trace deleted messages. Eventually, she cooperated fully, helping police piece together Chris's motive. The public was stunned. This wasn't a man with a history of violence. This was a father who played with his daughters, a husband who cooked dinner, a quiet, seemingly devoted man. And that's what made it more terrifying. Chris had no financial crisis, no abuse record, no psychotic break, just the desire to be free, to start over with his mistress, to erase his life with one final monstrous act. During his sentencing, the courtroom wept as Shanann's family described the pain. They asked how someone could look into a child's eyes and still choose to kill. Chris never looked up. He was sentenced to 5 life terms without parole. But questions linger. Was this premeditated? Did he plan it before Shanann got home? Why didn't he just divorce her? And deeper still, what kind of man can fake love so completely, for so long, only to snuff it out the moment it becomes inconvenient? The most disturbing part. Chris Watts wasn't a psychopath in the traditional sense. He was ordinary. Forgettable. The kind of man you'd never look twice at in a crowd. And that, perhaps, is what truly haunts us. So next time you see a happy family photo, all smiles, arms around each other, ask yourself, what's hiding behind the smile?